This is All Things Considered on KYR 89.1. I'm Daniel Breen. The largest outbreak of COVID-19 cases in Arkansas has been at a state prison in Lincoln County. 11 people confirmed to have the disease died at the Cummins unit. One of them was Derek Coley. As part of the National Geographic Society's Emergency Fund for Journalists covering COVID-19, reporter Anna Stitt has part two of her series.
My big brother's like my best friend, my everything. With him being incarcerated, he still helped me out a lot.
Tatiana Harris lost her brother, Derek Coley, on May 2nd.
When I need to talk and I need to cry, he there. Even though he didn't like it, he was there. I mean, that's what any big brother. Girl, stop crying. Dry them tears.
She'd never known him to get sick. She said he called her on April 10th, right before her birthday. Then his family stopped hearing from him, and they heard COVID-19 was inside Cummins. So Harris called the prison.
I called, but they wouldn't tell me nothing. They wouldn't tell my sister nothing, my big sister nothing either. So with his baby mama, his little girl's mother, she called.
I just kept calling. They were just saying, oh, he's still not showing no more symptoms.
That's Cecilia Tate. She and Coley were raising their 8-year-old daughter together. She was listed as an emergency contact, so she was the one the prison would communicate with. She says a prison nurse told her that Coley had tested positive for COVID-19, but that his fever had gone down and he was doing fine. But family members of other people incarcerated at Cummins were reaching out to tell her Coley was really sick.
The next thing I know, at 1:37 a.m., May 3rd, I got a call from the chaplain and told me he had passed.
Arkansas pays WellPath, formerly known as Correct Care Solutions, about $371 a month per prisoner to provide health care. But I spoke with two nurses who claim that WellPath spends as little as possible of that money. Amy Burrow worked in Arkansas prisons as a nurse practitioner for a year and a half, leaving this past November. She says when she was hired, WellPath's regional manager told her,
as the provider, you make the decision of what's needed. If you order this, we will get it for them, but absolutely not. Nope.
She says instead, the administrator at her prison often denied her requests for medical supplies or chose cheaper but higher risk medications.
It was being undermined by people, money, 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 money.
WellPath's contract with the Department of Corrections shows that the Cummins unit has one doctor, fewer than 4 nurse practitioners or registered nurses, and fewer than 14 licensed practical nurses or LPNs. LPNs are not trained or medically allowed to assess sick people without supervision. WellPath's policy manual is not public, but nurses say that inside Arkansas's prisons, LPNs are the ones who see prisoners when they place sick calls. And they say they're told that each prisoner should make 3 sick calls for the same symptoms before they're scheduled to see a doctor or nurse practitioner. Burrow says the time between each of these steps adds up.
Let's say that they followed that exact process, then it was 10 days minimum before a provider seen a patient, but a maximum of 20.
Even with these delays, nurses say they're often hundreds of sick calls behind. The prison switched to a mostly electronic system 3 years ago, but people in isolation don't have access to it. Burrow and another nurse allege that to avoid fines from the Department of Corrections for seeing people late, WellPath staff sometimes shred paper sick calls without scanning them into the system.
Well, there's no tracing of these handwriting sick calls. I witnessed them shredding sick calls. They would look at the name and not the complaints and would say, oh, this one wrote a grievance last week because blah, 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 blah. I don't want to deal with them and shred it.
And Burrow says she saw black prisoners get neglected while white prisoners with equivalent needs got treatment. She saw people with life sentences get turned down for operations, while others with less severe health issues got what they needed. We reached out to Department of Corrections Secretary Wendy Kelly. She declined an interview, but said in a written statement that the department denies the allegations. We asked what measures the department has in place to ensure that WellPath staff are not shredding sick calls before they're scanned in, or treating prisoners differently based on race or sentence. She said they would investigate if they received any evidence, but they have not. Amy Burrow says she reported her concerns to the Board of Corrections chairperson, but he told her WellPath is a private company and his hands were tied. She then reported her concerns to WellPath management. She was fired 3 weeks later. When prisoners are seen inside Arkansas prisons, each sick call costs $3, which can add up for a population paid nothing for their daily work. The Department of Corrections eliminated the $3 copay on March 23rd due to COVID-19, but Corrections Secretary Wendy Kelly reinstated the fee on May 1st. She said medical staff were flooded with requests to be seen. She made an exception for inmates with COVID symptoms, but she said that nurses would be the ones to determine whether the symptoms were COVID-related. Medical records show Derek Coley was too weak to walk to the infirmary the day he was tested for COVID-19. He was quarantined in isolation. For the next 2 weeks, nurses' notes claim Coley had no complaints. But I spoke with another prisoner who was in isolation at the time. He said prisoners near Coley had been asking nurses to evaluate him as they saw him getting weaker and weaker. In the 24 hours before Coley died, two long-term Cummins prisoners who had COVID died in hospitals.
Yeah, it's going down, eh?
That night, prisoners broke windows and set trash cans on fire. Here's Coley's older sister, Shatasha Harris.
I feel like that's why the riot broke out, because they're not giving them people the proper medical attention, and these people know that. So they mad, you know. And they see these other people in here not getting medical attention, so yeah, they mad. And then if you done been locked up with somebody for 7-8 years, you've grown a relationship with them.
Division of Correction Director Dexter Payne said the unrest was quickly dealt with and no one was injured. But photos leaked from that night show injuries from rubber bullets. And prisoners report mace or tear gas so intense that many struggled to breathe. Here's DeMarco Rayner, who's incarcerated at Cummins.
And we started to smell it down here in 15 Barracks, where I'm at. And it was beginning to choke us down here. I was shocked that they had put tear gas out there, knowing that almost 900 people are positive for respiratory virus.
Tear gas irritates the eyes, throat, and lungs and can make it hard to breathe. It can also permanently damage the lungs. We requested records for the extent to which prison staff used rubber bullets, mace, and tear gas that night and where in the prison. The Department of Corrections said it would send the records by May 29th, but it still has not. The coroner's report says staff were moving Coley to another part of the prison around the time of the unrest when he had a medical episode. Medical records say when nurses arrived, Coley was on the floor outside the prison's isolation unit. His lips were pale. He was struggling to breathe.
It appears the most trained medical staff in the building that night were licensed practical nurses, or LPNs. Cummins's only doctor, who records say the nurses were in touch with that night, has a revoked medical license, though the Arkansas State Medical Board gave him permission to keep practicing as long as he updates them. His license has been revoked 3 times over the last 20 years due to drug use, including treating patients while under the influence. It was last revoked in 2018.
The coroner's report says Coley had no medical or surgical history, that he had COVID-19, and that he died that night. The Department of Corrections said they did not consider Coley's death to be COVID-related. The autopsy report determining cause of death has not yet been released, though Coley's body has already been cremated. Derek Coley had been eligible for parole since June 2017, but he'd been denied each summer since then. Cecilia Tate, the mother of Coley's daughter, says he hoped to come home this month. Instead, she got his belongings from the prison.
I just got his Bible. I got his glasses. 2 radios.
She says Coley wanted to one day open a barber shop. He told his 8-year-old daughter they could be in business together when she was older. He could cut hair. She could do nails. Instead, she's getting her dad's ashes.
His baby, she wants a necklace and an urn, so we're giving her first choice.
Coley's older sister, Shatasha Harris, says the two of them had plans to take their kids to the beach this summer. Coley had never been to one, and he wanted to see more of the world. So when the COVID-19 pandemic is over, she plans to take her portion of his ashes and release them over the ocean. Cecilia Tate is focused on just getting through each day and supporting her daughter as she grieves.
We're going to miss him. I know he put up a good fight. I know that.
For KUAR News, I'm Anna Stitt.